But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not might, shall suffer persecutions. And we have selected to talk a while today on the subject, the side effects of Christianity. The side effects of Christianity. First of all, Christianity is the religion that's practiced by Christians. It is the state or the fact of being a Christian. It is the Christian character. It's what we really are. You see, a Christian is one belonging to Christ by virtue of his commitment to Christ, which is through the acceptance of the gospel of Christ. And therefore, they are those who follow Christ's teaching. They follow his examples. They follow his examples of love, his examples of peace and labor and service and humility and sacrifice and patience and compassion and forgiveness. When you find a Christian, you find these traits within them. The Apostle Peter declared in his first general epistle, chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. In other words, we should imitate Christ. When people see us, they need to see some Jesus in us. They don't need to see too much of us. They need to see Jesus in us. When Jesus is in us, then we don't act like we would act if Jesus was not in us. We must exhibit his character in our lives. You know, there's a song that we sang, and the ones of us who are older remember it. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Y'all remember that song? And there's a verse that says, I want to be more loving in my heart. Then another verse says, I want to be like Jesus. And some people venture to the level to say, I want to be just like Jesus in my heart. Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to be just like Jesus, you're going to encounter a downside of your Christianity. You cannot exercise your own will. You might be going through some unjust and some unmerited ordeal in your life. But still, you must rise to the level to say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Lay it not to that charge. You must say to the Father, don't charge it to them, Father. They don't know what they are doing. When you start living like this, you're exhibiting the Spirit of Christ in your life. got to stop telling folk, well, God ain't through with me yet. Y'all don't mess with me. We got to rise to the level to say, Father, don't hold it to their charge. Amen. You see, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 through 25, Peter talking about Jesus, he said, who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. Now, y'all stay on board. I'm gonna teach for a little while, but I'm gonna preach a little while after a while. But you know, we have to be taught. Amen. We have to be talked to in a way so it'll really sink down and soak in. Amen. What we want to do is learn about Jesus, then start feeling good and shout about Jesus. But let's learn about him first. He said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile again. He did not use abusive language. When people said awful things about him, he didn't try to get even. The Bible says he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he did not threaten. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins on the tree, that we being dead to our sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He said, for you were as sheep going astray, but now you return to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Now, church, those who come to Christ on the pleading terms of his word got to give up something. I say you got to give up something. You got to hand it over. Totally submit their lives, their will, to the master's will. And take up the cross and follow him. In this expression, the following is inclusive. One must surrender to God's will first, his affections. Your affections need to be first and foremost to God. The things that really touch your heart and turn you on and make you feel your best ought to be your affections for the one who made you, who sustains you, and is going to save you in the end. You must give up to him your body, your mind, and your soul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. The Bible says in those passages that you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. And he said, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Too many of us think we belong to ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And therefore, we must render to him service in all that we have. Amen. Be willing to renounce all. And we must even be willing to lay down our lives if it's required. How many of us are ready? Jesus told his disciples about the downside of following him. He told them, you're going to be hated by all men. You see, don't think because you've done a few good things that everybody's going to like you. Don't think just because you're in the Church of Christ and you know it's in the Bible, everybody's going to like you. Don't think everybody in the Church of Christ going to like you. The Lord said there's a downside to this thing. You'll be hated, he said, of all men. Why, Jesus? For my sake. But thank God he didn't stop there. But he that endureth to the end will be saved. Church, that's what we are trying to be saved. You see, although we've been delivered from the powers of darkness, although we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, there is still a downside. There are many unpleasant side effects which sometimes cause us to wonder. You know, it's easy, church, to accept and to understand that those who violate, transgress, and who commit heinous crimes, it's easy to understand that they should be prosecuted, suffer the consequences of their malicious conduct. They are just receiving the just recompense of their error. Listen, but when you sing like angels, when you preach like Paul, when you are praying like Hezekiah, when you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus and seem like the upright is always pressed down, look like rascals are wearing purple and the righteous are wearing rags, sinners and the enemies of God occupy the White House, saints of God are in the poor house, it's hard to put up with those kind of situations, but I stop by to tell you that's just the downside of being a child of God. The devil and unrighteous folk gonna get all that they are gonna get in this life, but we're looking for something else beyond this life. Am I right about it? We're going to encounter some things. Now, in regards to medicine in the physical realm, see if I can make this lesson set on the front porch. There are many medical formulas prescribed to treat various ailments of the physical body. We all have a little sickness sometimes, don't we? Yeah, but even though these medications, they eliminate certain health problems, they also have a side effect. There's a downside. You may suffer some drowsiness, dizziness, nauseous. While they are conducive to good in one area, they are unpleasant in another area. But usually, the physician will inform us that these are side effects and they are temporary. They are not lasting. They will eventually vanish. Well, on the spiritual side, there are side effects. Pain, persecution, trials, tribulations, sometimes the fate of death. The Lord says it's temporary. It's not permanent. He said, blessed are you when men revile you. Blessed are you when men persecute you. When they say all manner of evil against you falsely, blessed are you. Rejoice. Be exceeding glad. Why? You got a great reward in heaven. Those are just side effects. But when those side effects vanish, you'll feel better afterwards than you did before. The Revelator said, Revelation 2:10, be faithful to death, and I give you a crown of life. In the physical realm, before a medication can be approved by the FDA or the Food Drug Administration, it must first be tested to determine the ups and the downs, the advantages and the disadvantages. The positive benefits must outweigh the negative benefits or the damaging benefits. Will one be better off in the long run? Is the reward greater than the sacrifice? You know, Jesus said on one occasion, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. Jesus, I want my eye to see. But Jesus, if you got a bad eye, pluck it out. You got one left. He said, if you got a bad eye, pluck it out. Why, Jesus? If your eye is bad and you leave it in there, it's going to affect something else. So Jesus said, pluck the eye out. Why, Jesus? Jesus, well, it's just a side effect. Pluck it out is better for you to go to heaven with one eye than to go to hell with two. See what I'm saying, church? It's better to live life with a few devils than to go to hell and live eternally with all the devils. So suffer the side effects of being a child of God. Now, one who comes to Christ seeking total exemption from trouble and trials and pain and persecution, you will be very much disappointed. If you got into church because you say, well, I want to give it all of my troubles and all my prayers, you're not going to do that. You came to the wrong place. Don't you know that folk pick on Christians more than they do on sinners? You will be very much disappointed. For by virtue of the fact that you have covenant relationship with Jesus, because you are a lover and a cherisher and one who practices righteousness, one who renounces evil, excuse evil, by that fact, the world is going to hate you. Jesus said in his prayer to his Father, I've given them your word, and the world hate them. Why? Because they are not of this world. Church, we are not of this world, and we can't live like the world. Amen. And I want to drop this on us. The word of God does not change from one generation to another. Amen. The same thing that it meant on the day of Pentecost, it means that in the year 2018, I know we got folk trying to modernize the gospel. You can't modernize God's plan. God's plan is an eternal plan, a universal eternal plan. It does not change from one age to another. Amen. So, well, you know, we got different breed in the world today. We don't have God. We don't have a different Bible. God doesn't change because of the fact you want to modernize things. God doesn't change because of God remains the same. Amen. We must suffer some things to be a child of God. So if you come to Jesus, expect some unpleasantness in your life. Jesus prayed that prayer to his Father and told him they're going to be hated. The Apostle John declared, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." The fact that believers are intimately united with Christ means essentially, though not in the same degree, we all must suffer Christ's reproach. That is what Paul meant when he said, "Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." Ain't no doubt about that. The only reason why persecution awaits all of those who are firmly resolved to adorn their confession with a truly Christian life is that in the midst of contradictions, no matter what comes at them, they never sway. They always stand firm to attack the foe of religion. They never turn their backs when people criticize them. You know, and nowadays, people will say things to you like, you know, "You all think y'all the only one going to heaven." And you know, I've had this said to me many times because we believe in the solidarity of Christianity. We believe in the unity of the faith. We believe that there's only one way, one body, one church. Believe that. Well, some of us still believe that. Which means somebody has been slipping away. Church, that's not going to change. When folk tell me, "Well, you all think that you are the only one going to heaven," I'm responding to that. Let me ask you something. I want to come off the stage. I'm tempted to look like when I get ready to go off, the mic starts getting low. I don't want to lose my power. Y'all got a thing up here, so keep the preaching the pulpit. You can, when you come out, your mic cut off. Y'all got a thing like that up here? I tell people, you saying to me, "Do I think the folk in the Church of Christ?" I said, "No, you got me wrong. No, I don't think that. First of all, I think there's some folk already there. So I can't, because the Bible said when Jesus come back, he going to bring thousands of saints." Right? And the part is, I don't think everybody in the church is going to heaven, because if everybody in the Church of Christ is going to heaven, then why would the Bible say he going to send his angels back together out of the church? Those who offend, things that offend, and those that do iniquity. If everybody in the Church of Christ ain't going to heaven, but the sad thing is nobody on the outside. Nobody outside the Church of, oh, don't y'all look at me strange like that. When folk look at me like that, you know what I do? I take my old self, I preach a long time, so y'all better look right. Nobody outside the Church of Christ is going to heaven. People need to know that. Don't let the devil beat us down so low until we change our minds about the truth. The truth is still the truth. I don't care what government stand up and legislate some law that's contrary to God's will, the Bible still stands. And I'm
going to stand on it till Jesus calls me home. Amen. It's not going to change. Don't let folk make you think that they can modernize God's plan. God's plan is set, is fixed, is firm, is sealed. And nobody can change it. Amen. Got a lot of stuff in my head. Now let me go and finish my lesson. I don't want to get on too many other things here. The side effects to following Jesus. Paul had a side effect. Paul had some problems. You see, sometimes when we have problems, just turn them over to Jesus. We don't have anything that Jesus can't handle. We don't have any problem that he not gone through thing that somebody has not gone through before. Paul had a problem in his flesh. You remember? He had a thorn in his flesh. I know some folks try to figure out what it is. That ain't my business. I'm not going to try to do that. But whatever it was, it bothered Paul badly. And Paul went and changed his plan for you. Lord, yeah, I think I'll have to stay up here. Y'all said not, but I think I will. He said, Lord, move this thorn from my flesh. God says, I'm not going to do it. Paul went away. But when God tells you something, he's not going to change his plan for you. Paul came back the second time, said, Lord, move the stone. God said, no, I'm not going to do it. Paul pushed it to the limit. Came back the third time and said, Lord, move this thorn. God said, Paul, I'm not going to do it. And I stopped by to tell y'all something. God doesn't have to move something to relief. God is not just a God to move a thorn, but God is a God to give you comfort with the thorn. And he told Paul, I'm not going to move it, but I got enough grace, Paul, that you can live with this thorn. God's grace is sufficient to sustain us. Nothing comes against us. Just give it over to God. Amen. Give it to God. He'll handle it. You see, you may be lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, scandalized, scorned, talked about, sure as you are born. But those are side effects, which are temporary. They won't last always. So you must hold on. Endure the temporary hurt in order to receive the eternal healing. Because one of these days, troubles and trials will all be over. Sickness and suffering is going to be all done away. I think I need to bring this lesson to a close. I think y'all got enough for this particular moment. The Apostle John, out on the island of Patmos, was given a preview of the final judgment. John declared, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds, that they blow not on the earth, on the sea, on any tree. He said, I saw four of them. But he said, then I looked and I saw another angel. I saw an angel that had the seal of God. Sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. He said, I saw that. Well, I'm glad that John did not stop looking. John said, I looked and then I saw another number that no man could number. Of every nation, every kindred, and every tongue standing before God. Then I heard John say, the angel asked me, who are these in white robes and palms in thy hands? John said, I said to him, sir, you know who they are. I don't. You know who they are. Then he said to John, these are they that came out of great tribulations. These are they that suffered the side effects of being a child of God. These are they who are talked about sometime. These are they that had to cry in a midnight hour. These are they that came out of great tribulation and washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I stop by to tell you, when you're persecuted, that's a side effect. When you're talked about, that's a side effect. When you lose, that's a side effect. When you lose, side effect. I stop by to tell you, hold on. Don't give up. Joy is coming in the morning. I'm glad that David said a long time ago, he said, weeping might endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. You might be suffering and crying now, but you'll be laughing and the joy after a while, because you're just suffering the downside of being a child of God. Joy will come in the morning. That's why I love being a child of God. I can find some joy in the midst of my sorrows. Some people ask me occasionally, I've had folks ask me, say, Brother Bush, I say, yes. Does anything ever bother you? You act like nothing ever bother you. See, you got it wrong, first of all. Some stuff bother me, but I don't bother with the stuff. I give it to Jesus. You see, we can't fix all that stuff, but Jesus can. But I give it to Jesus. I know it's a side effect. I know it's the downside of being a child of God, but I hand it to him. And when I hand it to Jesus, see, Jesus, see, your load get heavy, and a lot of us, we load ourselves up with stuff. I know I got to quit too. Sometimes we load ourselves down with stuff. We are our own problem. Amen. See, because a lot of stuff we get into, we could have avoided. But isn't God good? Even though we mess up, if we come to ourselves and realize somebody does not love me, why not take it to him? Jesus said, if you bring it to me, it might be heavy, but I can handle it. what he said. Paul declared he will give us more than we can bear. Have you noticed that passage? The Bible say, but he will, get this now, with the temptation that you got. Y'all didn't miss that, did you? He's not going to move it. I ain't going to take it away. I ain't going to kill your husband because he don't act right. He said, but he will with that temptation fix it. If it's too heavy, he'll lighten it. If it's too large, he'll trim it down. Amen. He'll take whatever you got and fix it so you can deal with it. You know, I wouldn't be nothing else but a child of God. You can't put nothing on me that God can't fix it so I can handle it. Amen. I've talked enough. I've got in my daddy's mood now. I'm going to extend the invitation, but every now and then I get like that. My dad, he was a gospel preacher. He didn't know when to quit. No, bless his heart. I wouldn't have told him that. But he said, I'm just like a television, y'all. He said, I got something playing on every channel. But I know I got to conclude. If you need Jesus, if you got some problems that need solving, bring them to Jesus. And you cannot go to him and get the result. Don't belong. You need to be a child of God. Body of Christ. And the body of Christ. It's the church of Christ. And don't sit there and try to figure out as Lord, well, why I got to be in the church of Christ to go to heaven. God got all power. Why can't God save me anywhere I am? If you get to heaven with that attitude, you talk to God about it when you get there. But let me tell you something. If you want to be saved, you better do what the Lord said. When I get ready to go on a trip, when I go to the bus station or to the airport, I don't go there trying to tell the people, well, why I just got to go in this airplane? Why I just got to get on this bus? I don't like her. I don't ask no questions. You know what I say? Save a seat for me. I got to get on the one that's going where I want to go. We understand that. You got to get in the church that's going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. There's only one that came down from heaven. It's the only one that know the way back to heaven. That's the church of Christ. The one that John said, I saw that. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for the church of Christ came from heaven, and Jesus said, I'm coming back for it in the end. That's the one you better be in. Which one is it? His, the church of Christ. How do I get in it? Here's how you get in. Simple. Christ died, he was buried, rose the third day. Do you believe that with all your heart? If you do, you should turn from your way and your sins to Jesus. And then don't be ashamed to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, we baptize you in water for remission of your sins. Same thing they did on Pentecost. You rise from baptism anew. pass away. All things do. And then the Bible, the Lord will add you to his church. He's coming back for the church. To heaven if you live Christian. Don't want to go? If you do, we plead with you to give your life to Jesus. Be a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. Not because I asked you. No. But because it belongs to Christ and he's going to save it. Amen. Will you do that? For your sake. If you will, I want y'all to stand on your feet. Now, if you know truth that have reached your heart, respond. Don't be ashamed. We don't know when that's going to be. Just like we are here now. Yeah. And when he comes, we won't be standing around arguing about, well, why I can't be here? Why I can't be? We'll be glad to be where we need to be so Jesus can take. Come to Jesus. Get in the Church of Christ. We can prove it. These other folk got all these other churches, came over one of them in the Bible, and we got in the Bible and folk running from it. All things not in the Bible, folk running to it. What's wrong with us? Oh, okay. Come to Jesus, please. If you are here and you're a child of God, and you know that you've been kind of shaky on the stalk, take in some good nutrients so you can tighten yourself up. You need some prayer? Come for it. Got it. Ask the church to pray for you if you need some prayer. I don't think we use prayer as God intended for us to use it. I don't care what your problem is. Prayer is a filter for anything that you got. The Bible said, pray always, all men. Lift up holy hands to God. Prayer works. Got all these problems? Give it to God. Ask for some prayer. You don't have to come up in here and explain to us in detail what you want. I don't want to know my business. We don't want to know your business. But God already know your business. Amen. All you got to do is say, church, I need some prayer. Ain't God good? You don't have to tell me what you did last night. Just say, church, I need some prayer. I'm not going to ask you what you did. God already know what you did. But come get what you need. Don't come up in church sad, hurting. Hear the gospel and the invitation and then go back home and hurt just like you did before you left. That's sad. Come get what you need. When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, just linger. Will somebody come to Jesus? When my life you are most God. Hear my cry. Hear my call. Just hold my hand to Jesus. Lest I, oh yes, take my